Turn to the book of James, chapter number 3. James, chapter 3 this evening. James, chapter 3. And when you find your places, you can say amen and stand up on your hind legs. Amen. All righty. James, chapter number 3. Hope you be praying for camp this week. Every time you think of it, just pray that God would get a hold of the hearts of the young people. And do me a favor. Don't ask your youngins if they want to go to camp. No. You say, you're going to go to camp and you're going to have a great time. And you are going to love it. Amen. That's what you do. So don't ask them, do you want to go? That's about as stupid as saying you want to go to school. You want to go to bed. You want to eat some Brussels sprouts. You know? Now, so you tell them, they're going to go, and they'll be all right. I think you've not lost any yet, have you? Has anybody died out there yet? At least they talk. Don't talk about it, but anyhow. Camp's a great tool. I run a camp in the mountains of West Virginia. You're going to Mount Salem. I ran it there for 10 years. My daddy and I built about 33 buildings while we were there. And camp is a powerful tool. And it is a place where they can go and get away from the world and outside influences and get to the point where they can hear the voice of God in their life. Get away from all those distractions, get them away from the TV, get them away from the cell phones, and be able to just have some old-fashioned, good, clean fun, and be able to make some decisions for the Lord, because camp's a life-changing place. And many, many folks have surrendered to the ministry and found the will of God for their life at camp. And so I hope that you'll be praying. And I hope that you will come out Wednesday night. Champ and Dixie Dog will be performing. We'll be preaching with them in the Wednesday night service there. And so if you've never seen them, well, you can come out and see them perform. We'll be using them in the message. They'll be preaching, and you'll get to see that. And we thank you for your prayers. And thank you, preacher, for the opportunity to be here today on this Father's Day. And what a joy it's been. James chapter number 3, we'll begin reading there in verse number 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is perfect man, able to also bribe to the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm. Whithersoever the governor listeth, even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for this church, and thank you for the souls that were saved today, the decisions that was made. And we ask for you to speak to us and challenge us and help us tonight to be better for you because of this time. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. I want to speak to you for a few moments tonight on the subject of the power of the tongue. The power of the tongue. We can hurt people intentionally or unintentionally with our words. They got power to lift somebody up and to tear somebody down. The tongue. I'll never forget our preacher was trying to teach the people to be friendly. And he was trying to, we were up in Illinois and there's Yankees up there. Sometimes Yankees aren't as friendly as the Southern hospitality. That's why it's called Southern hospitality. It's not called Northern hospitality. I never heard anybody use that word. But they'll say Southern hospitality. Because Southerners just tend to be that way, you know, say howdy to people they don't know, on and on. And so my preacher is trying to get these folks to, and there's a lot of Southern transplants there, and so they had a pretty good spirit, were very hospitable, but there were some Yankees mixed in, so we had to get them converted. And so he was preaching about that. He said, man, you got to be, and for you Yankees out there, don't get all hair-lipped. You just decide, that ain't me. Amen. If it ain't you, don't own it. Say, that ain't me. I'm not like that. And we won't tell nobody, okay? But watch this. He was trying to just get the folks to be friendly. Make the church seem like it was a hospital for folks to come and get help and be encouraged instead of a museum of people on display like relics, right? Amen. So he's trying to preach that. And boy, as I just graduated from Bible college and was working there in the church. And so one night on a Wednesday evening service, the town lawyer came in. His name was Fred, big, tall, skinny guy, looked like a basketball player from NBA. And he came in, and boy, you know, people started talking like, man, is that Fred? Yeah, that's the town lawyer, richest man in town, you know. Wow, what's he doing here? Well, he got up, he was Christian, but just away from the Lord, him and his wife were separated, going through a struggle. He came in and asked for prayer requests. We were praying for his wife to come. We prayed. We prayed and prayed and earnestly prayed. And finally, one Sunday night, she showed up. And when she did, people just overwhelmed her with just being kind, saying good, encouraging words. We're glad you're here. Thank you for coming. She felt so welcome. I didn't get to see her before service, but after service, preacher and I was standing in the back in the foyer, and folks was coming by and was going to shaking the hands of the preacher and myself. And as everybody's filing through, well, here come Fred, big old tall, skinny basketball-looking player and Fred. And then here's his little wife. She's a little short thing, little wiry, feisty lady with bright red hair. And you could tell, didn't have to take very long to look and tell that it was not original. But I didn't care, because back then when I had hair, it was red. Then it turned colors and turned loose. But anyway, when I had hair, it was red. Still got a little bit of red in my whiskers, you know. But so she's come by. I'm thinking, I'm going to say something to her. I'm going to encourage her. I'm going to say some kind, positive words to her. What am I going to say to her? And while I'm processing this, she comes up. I says, oh, Mrs. Truffy, so good to see you tonight. I'm glad that you're here. By the way, is that your real hair? And I thought, did I just say what I thought I said? And Fred starts laughing. Now, this ain't helping. She just sucks air. The preacher is standing there next to me horrified, like, did you just say what I thought you said? And I'm thinking, I cannot believe what I just said. And so I'm going to get out of it. Yeah, I'm going to correct this, right? And just kind of go over it and not dwell on the obvious. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Truffy, I didn't mean to say that to you, because usually ladies your age don't. I opened mouth, insert foot. I was digging a hole. And I was like, oh, Lord. And the preacher, once again, is just like shocked, horrified. Fred's laughing even harder now. And Mrs. Truffy is very dignified. She says, Pastor, does your associate usually talk to people in such manner? And he said, no, ma'am, he's off his medication tonight. She walked out, and Fred slapped me on the back. He said, don't worry, she'll get over it. That was probably his problem. But you're probably wondering, did she ever come back to church? That's none of your business whether she ever come back to church or not. But she did come back. But I don't think she ever forgot that. Neither did I, because I'm thinking, okay, I didn't mean to say that like that. It just came out, and I'm thinking, what an idiot. The tongue. We can hurt people unintentionally. And the Bible says there that, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us. I've got a twist shank bit here that my papaw made. He was a blacksmith up on Sand Mountain in northwest Georgia. My daddy was a blacksmith. And farmed with horses and mules. And he had an old mule that was pretty hard-headed. And he made this twist shank bit to get his attention. It's very rough. And you put that in the horse's mouth and the mule's mouth. And, buddy, you do that, okay, to direct them, okay? Why is the bit associated with the tongue? Because it has power to direct. Your tongue can direct people. You can direct people for right. You can direct them for wrong. You can direct them from heaven. You can direct them for hell. My boys, when they were 5 years old, I taught them to ride, and they had the privilege of having the opportunity to have horses and to be able to ride. And they were child-safe horses, and you could throw anybody on their back, and anybody could ride them, and they were neck-reined. So my boys, boy, they thought they were something, being able to ride on them horses and be able to. And little Joe, you know, 50 pounds wet, full of bananas, you know, he could ride on a horse, feet wouldn't even come anywhere close to the stirrups, but he could control that 1,200-pound gelding horse. But he was, why? Because that bit was in its mouth, and he could control it. He could direct it. Amen? Oh, man, God help us to direct people with our tongue. Behold, it's a very small thing. It says right there in verse number 4 about ships, those massive vessels have the little small helm, the little rudder in the back. It's like a little bit. It's like a little rudder, and it can direct that massive ship. Oh, yeah. Boy, the power that your tongue has. We were preaching for Brother Kirk Beard down in Hemet, California. And while we were there, we had a big day. And man, there was just hundreds and hundreds of people showed up. And we had the Cowboy Carnival outside. And we had preached with Champ and Dixie and had a big evangelistic meeting there. And I mean, there was just a great harvest of souls. And the Lord really blessed. And it encouraged my heart. There's a lot of folks, you know, that have that welfare mentality where they show up after the preaching. You know. They show up. And so we had soul winners. Yeah. And we had a gospel tent out there to catch those. And as they would come in, we'd catch them. And that one lady, she was a go-getter. I mean, she was out there and she was intercepting all of the visitors and all the people that skipped out on church. She was going to them, and the preacher didn't assign her. In fact, I take that back. Nobody was assigned to do that. The ball kind of got dropped on it. But she took it upon herself to intercept. And she was intercept. She won about 15 people to the Lord that day. As she was going from, she was using her mouth to direct people for heaven. As she was taking advantage of the opportunity while they were there. Well, thank God for folks that use their tongue to direct people for heaven. Amen. Oh, God, give us some parents to direct and give directions to the children. And God, give us some teachers and some missionaries. And we need people to give directions. We was in West Virginia. There was a terrible accident on State Route 50. And there was a log truck that was coming down the mountain. And a tanker truck was coming up the mountain, a divided four-lane state road. And the log truck coming down off the mountain lost his brakes, lost control, headed straight for that semi-tanker truck full of chemicals. Elderly lady was in the passing lane about to pass the tanker truck. Behind her in the driving lane was another man and his boy. And they were driving along, and just that quick, the father perceived what was going to happen. He saw the log truck lose control, and he knew there was going to be an impact, and it was going to be bad. And he slammed on the brakes, and in a split second, he gave his son some advice. He said, "Son, as soon as this car stops, jump for the ditch." Slammed on the brakes. The car went into a skid. They both jumped out and dove into the ditch. And as soon as they dove into the ditch, that's right when the semi and the log truck collided head on. A massive explosion. Both drivers killed instantly. And the lady, the elderly lady who's in her car went underneath the tanker. It exploded. She was gone. And the intent of the explosion and the flame was so hot, it melted the pavement out there and just turned it to mush. Houses 100 yards off the road, their siding just drooped down, and smoke filled the air. It was a terrible catastrophe that shut down State Route 50. And as soon as that father and son hit the grass and rolled down, that explosion, the pressure from it just rolled over them as they felt the heat and the pressure come over their bodies. That father gave his son some directions that saved his life. He said, "Son, as soon as the car stops, head for the ditch." Oh, thank God he had a son that listened. Thank God he had a son that had been programmed. Thank God he had a son that was trained. Thank God that he had some instruction to give him. I wonder if your children or grandchildren would have been in that car. One of you boys and girls that are sitting out here today, or you teenagers, would have been in the car. What your response would it be? Whatever. Do I have to? Why? Arguing? Mouthing off? Being sassy? That would have been you. You would have hesitated at all and would have been in that car. You would have blown up because that car blew up. Oh, yeah. Obedience, receiving direction, could save your life. Oh, God, help us to receive instruction. God, help us to be smart enough to take it, not balk at it, not fight at it. We had a horse named Law, and we called him Law, rightly so, because he thought he was the boss. And every time we got on him, man, it was just a rodeo. And I couldn't put just anybody on horse. Now, buddy, he was good looking. Man, that was a horse to look at, but it wasn't a horse to trust because he wouldn't receive. And guess what happened to him? He wouldn't receive the training, the instruction. He ended up going to glue factory. Amen. We got rid of him. Yeah, he was strong. Yeah, he was big. Yeah, he had good looks, but wasn't worth shooting. Couldn't trust him. Yeah, when you won't receive instruction, whenever you cease to be teachable, and you think you know everything and nobody can tell you nothing, and you never ask any questions, that tells you a lot about somebody if they're teachable. They'll ask questions. But some people know everything. Yeah, can't tell them nothing. Oh, hey, help us to not only give instruction, but receive it. The power of the tongue. Not only power to direct, but number two tonight, our tongue has got power in verse number 5. Or verse 6, it says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. I got a fire starter right here. The Bible says our tongue is like that right there. Little spark. All it takes is spark. Amen. Little fire. It says, it's a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and serpents and things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed to mankind. Verse number 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Our tongue not only has power to direct, like the bit, but it's got power to destroy. Yeah. Oh, it's got power to hurt. It's got power to kill. It's got power to put to death. Got power to offend, break hearts. They did a test on the extreme optimist boy and the extreme pessimist boy. And of course, the optimist boy had a positive outlook on everything. The little pessimist boy, he was negative about everything. They took that little pessimist boy and they put him in the store, Toys R Us, full of all kinds of toys before they shut down. Put him in the middle of that store, had all the latest, greatest toys. Things for kids. They set him in there and they put cameras on him, said, let's watch him, see how he responds and what he does. They come back after an hour and they found him sitting in the middle of that store full of all kinds of stuff. He had his head resting in his hands. They said, son, what's the matter? He's just sitting there. He said, it's boring. There ain't nothing to do. Oh boy, this ain't no fun. So, boy, this guy's, he's worse off than we thought. So they took the little optimist boy who had a positive outlook on everything. And they put him in the middle of a horse barn full of nothing but manure. They left him there. Come back about an hour later. Couldn't see him. All of a sudden they looked, and in the middle of that big old pile of manure, there was poo-poo flying everywhere. I mean, just flying out of there. And they crawled up and looked down in there. and he had a shovel, and he was digging frantically. And they said, "Son, what in the world are you doing?" He said, "Well, with all this horse manure, there's bound to be a pony somewhere." He was looking for the good. Amen. Boy, God give us some people that look for the good. Amen. Oh, anybody can be a manure spreader. God didn't call you to do that. Anybody can destroy, can hurt, can set on fire the course of nature. Bible says our tongue is like that. It has the capability to do it. People that destroy with their tongue, they say things like, "You're such a loser. I hate you. I can't wait till I leave home. I wish somebody else was my parents. Mama told me I should have never married a sorry outfit like you." Well, those are cutting, destroying words. You've probably had some things like that said to you that you ain't ever forgot. You hold on to that. The power of the tongue. It's got power to destroy, to kill, to cause people to think of suicide. I'm talking about backtalking and lying and name calling and making fun and being disrespectful. His name was Donald. Donald Zim, I'll never forget him. He and I were buddies. We were both country boys, farm boys. And he had real curly brown red hair. And he was pretty husky. And they didn't make the husky clothes for boys back then. And so he ended up wearing his daddy's clothes and quite a bit. And they made a lot of fun of him because he grew up on the farm and he was just redneck deluxe. And so he was the object of people's ridicule. And he got picked on so much, I ended up reaching out to Donald, coming buddies with him. He said, "Kevin," he said, "you're my best friend." He said, on the bus one day, he said, "You ever thought about killing yourself?" Wow. Man, why? Because the children, our schoolmates, were so mean. Called him Fatso, all kind of names. During the time whenever we'd have PE and stuff, if he would be the last one chosen all the time, and if he got put on your team, everybody said, "Oh, we're going to lose. Donald's on our team." Well, how do you think that made him feel? Might as well just went up and kicked him and stabbed him and shot him. Those words got him to think about, "I'm no good. I'm nothing. I'm a nobody." Boy, you ought to guard against that. Amen. You ought not to let your child ever be mean and unkind and nasty and cruel to somebody. "Well, that's just the way kids are." No, that ain't the way kids gotta be. They can be different. They can be kind. They can be building. They don't have to be somebody that's like a torch. Amen. Don't have to be that way. Right. See? And those kids were so mean to him. I'll never forget out there. And so one day it was my turn to pick sides. I was captain. Everybody thinks he's gonna pick Mario. He's gonna pick Hernando, the two Hispanic boys that were big for their age and strong for their age. And that's because they were always the first ones chosen. Do you know who I picked? "Who are you going to pick first, Kevin?" "Donald Zim." Oh, they all started laughing. Donald never been picked first ever. He walked up there, buddy. He was proud as a peacock. "Man, I was picked first." He got up there and we was playing ball. And I got up to the bait and I said, "Listen, Donald, I says, this is how you stand. See, some of you that think you're God's gift to athleticism and you think you're the sports star, somebody taught you. Somebody invested in you. Nobody taught Donald." I said, "Donald, this is how you stand. This is how you hold the bat." I says, "Whatever comes to pass," I said, "just swing at it. I don't care what it is. Just swing at that ball and try to connect it." Those guys were making fun. I said, "Shut up." I said, "Donald ain't had the opportunity you've had. He might not be as gifted as you, and he's a person." So the teachers didn't have enough sense to stand up for him. They should have been, but they didn't. They kind of wonder sometimes they join in on. But you know what? Those hurtful words will cut to the bone. Amen. Huh? God help us not to be that type of person that's so destructive and says such hurtful things. You know, people can be so mean and cruel. We said to church one time, they had fellowship afterwards, and we had the Cowboy Carnival, and they was doing a big meal. And one of the ladies that just started coming, hadn't joined the church yet, but she was saved, and she was just one trying to get involved. She came out there to the kitchen to help. And, you know, I love those people, Brother Carter, that they just jump in. You don't have to tell them what to do. They just figure out, hey, let me. And so she jumped in and started helping in the kitchen, started going in there carrying stuff out, and Granny was in the kitchen. Now, bless her heart, Granny thought she owned the kitchen. Okay? Some of you ladies think you own the kitchen. You own whatever division it is, whatever you think it's yours. No, it ain't yours. It's God's. Amen. And the preacher's over it all. But she thought it was hers, and she said, hey, what are you doing? Don't just come in here and take over. She was just trying to help. Man, Granny unloaded on her. And I couldn't believe it. I was kind of in shock thinking, what? I wanted to jerk a knot in Granny's tail. That's what my daddy would say and do. Say, I'll tell you one thing for sure. But it wasn't my place. And I was sitting there saying, Lord, help me. Help me, because that lady was so gracious, and she said, I'm sorry. I didn't realize this would be such a problem. She took the stuff that she'd set out on the tables and brought back into the kitchen, set them down. While Granny was still huffing and puffing because she didn't get permission, she just grabbed up her purse, grabbed up her keys, and just graciously walked out and got in her truck and drove off, and she never came back. They lost that one. See, is that the kind of a person you are? Where you're like sandpaper. You just drive people away. Oh, no. No, it ought not to be that way. Instead of being hurtful and destructive, well, it should be just the opposite. But our words hurt. Our words can drive people away. Our words can do so much damage. And someday, you wish you would have never said that. You think, well, because your age, you can just say what you want to say. You know, us older folks think that. We think we can just say what we want to because we're old. But just because you're old doesn't mean you can just get by with being mean and nasty and ugly. And just, I just say the truth. You ain't going to have very many friends when you're mean and nasty and just unload all the time. Don't use your tongue to destroy. No. The Bible says our tongue can hurt and cut and do more damage. The Bible also says, not only does our tongue direct like a bit, not only does it destroy like a fire, but this last one, look there in verse number 9. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, wherewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine fig? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? You know, our tongue can be like a fresh water fountain. Nothing like some good water. And some of the places I go to around here, it tastes like it comes straight out of the pond. I mean, a green-covered pond. Ooh, it can be rough. But if you've got a fresh water fountain, you got a good well with some good water, wow, that's valuable. Amen. Oh, man, especially out west. Man, you got a good source of water. Woo, there's great refreshment and delight. Hey, I'm alliterated tonight. D, delight. Direct, destroy, and delight. Our tongue can be like a fresh water fountain. That freshwater fountain is delightful. That freshwater fountain is refreshing. That freshwater fountain is one that builds and says positive things. Huh? That freshwater fountain encourages. That freshwater fountain says, man, Peter, I saw you strumming on that washboard. I love that. You know what that does? That encourages. Amen. Hmm? Yeah. You don't find too many 8, 9, and 11-year-old kids playing instruments, singing. You know, a lot of times they're shy, and you can't hardly even get them up on the platform. But because they've been encouraged, man, they can serve the Lord. Amen. Yeah. Man, my boy Joe, he can tear up a mandolin. Man, he can play that thing. But you know what it was? As soon as he was 5 and he could do them little 2-finger chords, I had him up on the platform. And then he just went from there, and people started bragging on him and building him and encouraging him. Say, man, Joe, you do it. Man, that just fanned the flames. And because of that, he excelled, and man, he just became better and better. Why? Because those delightful, encouraging, building words. Amen. Oh, yeah. Yeah, your words have powerful tool to encourage somebody to go on, encourage somebody to go forth and to take it to the next level. Man, they encourage and say, my wife's so good. She says, is there anything you can't do? That's encouraging. Huh? Whenever somebody's respectful, they say, yes, ma'am. Thank you. Please, those kind words. That's delightful. Amen. When somebody's thankful and writes you a note, man, I got a note here that a child wrote me. I mean, I didn't realize it, but I'm thinking this was back when I ran Mount Salem back in the 90s. I've saved that note from that child that said, thank you, Ranger Walker. And those kind, encouraging words. Boy, they've been a delight. Man, been a blessing. Oh, man, it's refreshing to find a young person with a delightful tongue. I remember Autumn Bradbury, when we was down in Dothan, Alabama, and we'd had the big day, and we left part of the carnival up for the kids to play in school whenever it was all done, and we were packing up, getting ready to leave. And she came up to me, and she said, Ranger Walker. I said, yes. She said, can you come back? It just ain't no fun around here without you. Because she was looking at the Cowboy Carnival and Champ and Dixie and all the stuff, you know, and she loved it. And I said, well, you have to ask the preacher. Well, immediately she turned off and ran. Preacher was out there, and she grabbed the preacher, and she had a power about her. You know, some of them little cute little girls do. Grabbed hold of the preacher's hand and said, preacher, come with me. And he was just like a little puppy dog and just followed her, that little girl, and followed her over to me. And she looked at me like I'm supposed to ask him. And I said, well, what? And she said, then she looked at the preacher and says, well, can he come back? And then the preacher understood what she was doing. Oh, you want Ranger Walker to come back? Yeah, it's no fun without him. Can you come back? You know, those kind, encouraging words, those delightful words, those words that make you feel wanted. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like a freshwater fountain. See, because when you're that way, people won't be afraid to come up to you because of what you're going to say when you got this kind of a tongue. You wonder why you ain't got any friends? You wonder why nobody likes you? You wonder why whenever you walk in the room, everybody runs out the back door? Could it be that you're very hurtful and don't even realize it? Bible says, Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. See, those people that have a wholesome tongue and a delightful tongue, they choose to live on the side that's looking for good. Amen? Amen. Bible says in Proverbs, chapter number 18, verse number 21. The Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Tongue's got power to build up. It's got power to tear down. It's got power to heal. It's got power to cut. It's got power to delight. It's got power to dampen. It's got power to direct. It's got power to destroy. It's got power to praise. It's got power to dishearten. It's got power to encourage. It's got power to discourage. It's got power to motivate. It's got power to stifle. It's got power to help. It's got power to hinder. It's got power to defend. It's got power to slander. Your tongue. If we brought you up here and they had to vote on what you were, I would hope they'd say they give life with their tongue, not death. They are delightful. They give directions. Oh, yeah. The power of our tongue. Oh, my. And you got to, if you got a tongue that's delightful and giving directions, you keep it under control because it's constant work. Okay? See, you got to be under the control of the Holy Spirit of God to have a good, positive tongue and not be destructive. So God help us to say, you know what? I want my tongue to do what? Direct. What do we want our tongue to do? To direct like the bit. I don't want it to destroy like the fire. I want it to be delightful like a freshwater fountain. And you know what? That's what makes the difference. That's what has the power to change and to mold and to make a difference. Think about the people that made a difference in your life. Which one were they? Oh, yeah. Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. The Bible has a lot to say about our tongue. Tell you this story in closing. Her name was Hannah, the preacher's daughter. She was very sweet, very just a delightful person, unlike Gracie. Just like Gracie. That's what I meant to say, just like Gracie. She was like Gracie. She's just sweet, was kind. People loved her. She's 9 years old. And they were passing out flyers. And the preacher and her was running some errands. And they went into the post office and they had some flyers. And little Hannah was bold. She didn't have a shy bone in her body. And everybody loved her. And there was a biker in there. Out front they saw a big old Harley motorcycle. Two big old flags, a POW flag and an American flag waving in the wind. Big flags on the back of that Harley. And when you walked in the post office, you knew exactly who it belonged to. Because that biker was over there, had his leather pants on, his black leather boots, had his black leather wallet with the big old log chain that drooped down and hooked onto his belt. He had on a vest, nothing between him and the vest, and it was open. Had on his do-rag on his head tied around there. Had his patches all over the vest. You could tell he'd been in the service. And little Hannah, she walked in there. She had that flyer. And she walked up to him and pulled on his vest. And he turned. He was quite surprised that a little girl would approach him, let alone touch him, let alone pull on his vest. And he looked at her, and she held out her hand. She said, "Sir, I'd like to thank you for serving our country." That big old rough, tough, Harley riding ex-serviceman, ex-Marine, he melted. I mean, he just flat out melted right there. And then the preacher come up, you know, and engaged in the conversation. They gave the flyer. If I didn't come, he was overwhelmed. He said, "Well, if I came to your church, the roof would fall in." And then Brother Eric said right away, "Oh, don't worry about that. We pass out hard hats to everybody that comes in, so it'll be okay." Very humorous, lighthearted, made him feel welcome. Says, "We would really like for you to come." He was in shock. He said, "I might surprise you." He said, "I might just do that." Lo and behold, Sunday night service was closing out the revival. I was coming in for a landing. All of a sudden, that Harley comes in. Small church. Church would probably fit up here in the choir. I mean, honestly, this was about the size of the building right here. And it was a trailer. Walls were thin. And when that Harley rolled in, boom, 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 boom. I mean, the whole trailer shook. You could feel it and hear it. And they knew who it was. Charlie got off his bike and come inside. As soon as he came in, there's only three rows of seats, and the only thing open was the front row. Because you got to get early to get the back row seats. And so he came in and sat down in the front row, and little Hannah, she jumped out of her seat and she just marched right over there and sat right down next to him. And then the preacher, he jumped up and he sat down on the other side. They had him pinned in. And I just pulled back and we just took a lap with the gospel and presented the plan of salvation whenever we did and had the invitation, said, if you'd like to know for sure you're going to heaven, old Charlie raised up his hand. Little Hannah was peeking. The preacher, he was peeking. And as soon as I gave the invitation, he stood up to move, and each one of them grabbed him on either side, and they knelt down there with him at the front of that altar, and old Charlie bowed his head and got saved. Man, old Hannah was so excited. She was wound up tight. Man, what a blessing that was. And see, old Charlie, Hell's Angel type of a looking guy, riding a Harley. But every now and again, he shows up, especially when he finds out Ranger Walker's come to town. He always got to come back, still attending church there. Thank God for that delightful little girl. He used her tongue to direct that man to come to church, and she brought him life instead of death. Oh, yeah. Just a little child. The power of the tongue. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us, Lord, to see the power that our tongue has. And Lord, I pray that we would use it, Lord, to bring honor and glory to you. And I pray for those that have a delightful tongue that they would just press the reset button and say, Lord, may I use it to continue to give life and to direct and to be a delight. Lord, for those of us that's used our tongue to be ugly, be unkind, be hurtful, forgive us. Holy Spirit, convict us. Holy Spirit, do a work in our heart. We might need to go to somebody and say, I'm sorry. Might need to go to a family member and apologize. Might need to go to our children and say, I'm sorry for how I've used my words. Might need to be some family members gather around an old-fashioned altar and say, hey, let's decide that we're going to have a little revival about how we talk and treat each other. I think we could do a better job. Oh, Lord, help us to give life, not to hurt, not to kill. Oh, if you're here tonight, you're uncertain of your eternal destiny, we'd love to take the Bible and direct you for heaven and eternal life. And if you're uncertain, unsure about where you'd spend eternity, we'd love to take a few moments and share with you the simple plan of salvation. If you're here tonight, maybe you've been hurt by some unkind words. Might be somebody you might need to forgive. You obey the Lord. Maybe you just want to come down and pray and say, Lord, help me to have a delightful tongue that gives life. Help me to be those that direct people for heaven. You obey the Lord tonight. Let's all stand together. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, bless now as we have this invitation. I pray your will would be done. And I pray you'd help us all to determine to use our tongue to delight. And tonight, we'd say, I want to use my tongue to direct. I want to use my tongue to give life. All help us to do that. These have come. These have responded. You obey the Lord. God has spoken to you. Oh, Lord, help me. It won't happen by accident. It'll happen on purpose. How's your words? How do you treat each other around the house? Work. Oh, God, help us to have that tongue, the power of the tongue. It can stop a church split, or it can start one. It can help pour gasoline on the fire, or it can be a fire extinguisher and put it out. Yeah. God, help us. Because we need some more fire extinguishers. These have come. These are praying. You spend as much time as you need. While these are praying, can I share something with you? Look at me if you would. On the big day, a lady got left behind. Her and her two kids. She was quite upset that she got left behind and forgotten on this big day. They had almost 1,000 people. Church that runs about 170. So boy, it was crazy. Well, that lady got left behind was just ballistic. I mean, she was fussing and a cussing. And one of the church members saw this sweet lady. She ran out there and she used her tongue to diffuse. She used her tongue to put the fire out and delight. She says, I'm so sorry. She let her just unload. She knew she was hurt. She knew she was unsaved. She just let her rant and rave. She gave her some water, gave her a chair and set her down underneath the tree and just listened to her. And after a few moments, she said, is there anything I can do for you? I know the bus captain would never have done that on purpose. It's a crazy busy day and it was just a mistake and we are so sorry. And after a few apologies and a few kind, diffusing words, that lady calmed right down. She noticed that the children had stickers that says, I got saved today. She said, I see your kids ask Jesus into their heart. Got saved. But you know what? They're going to want you to be in heaven with them. And because she diffused the situation, and because she had a delightful freshwater tongue, guess what? She won that lady to Christ. It was no accident she got left behind. It was a divine appointment. Because that lady diffused it, used her tongue. See, you can be a diffuser or you can fan the flames. God help us to be diffusers on purpose. You're going to have to put up with some stuff. But you got to realize that hurt people hurt people. This lady was hurt. She needed Jesus. She got saved. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing. Man, now them kind of folks, preacher, you can use a church house full of them. God help us to be that way. Amen. Preacher, we'll turn it over to you. Thank you.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence.
Bow your head with me tonight. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, gave a great testimony of a lady that came and received Jesus Christ as her Savior, and it was a divine appointment. Maybe tonight is your divine appointment. It's a time that you know for sure that you need to be saved. You know that you're not, you don't have a relationship with God. You know that you've come into the church house. You know that heaven would not be your home because you're still lost in your sins. Why don't you just step out and come? You know, there's so many times that people come to church and they say, I'll do that next time that I come. I'll do that next time. Why don't you let tonight be the time that you get saved? We'd love to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. Why don't you step out and come while heads are bowed and folks that have done that are praying for you to come. Why don't you step out and come as Brother Burt sings.
All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender.
God's people said, Amen. If you're here tonight and you just couldn't bring yourself to come forward, we'd love to take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're saved. And I just come down here after the service and say, "Preacher, I need to be saved." We'd love to do that for you. And I know sometimes we say that over and over again, but really that is what we gather together for as a church, and we'd love to do that. Tonight, Miss Jennifer Tomlinson come, and she's wanting to join the church by statement. And so everybody with the right hand of fellowship that would welcome her in, amen, and so carried. And what we want to do, we'll close in prayer, and you come down and shake her hand and welcome her into our church fellowship tonight. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to use our tongue for your honor and glory. Lord, so many times we, in the old man, we used it for things that, Lord, we're not proud of, but help us now with the power of the Holy Spirit as saved people to use it to help others be saved and to encourage others to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget.